यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जन रञ्जन यमुनातीरावनचारी यमुनातीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जन रञ्जन यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जन रञ्जन यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जन रञ्जन यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जन रञ्जन यमुनातीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्ण। वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 12 चैप्टर 6 एंटाइटल्ड महाराज परीक्षित पासेस अवे एंड टेक्स्ट नंबर 27 फॉर डिस्कशन टुडे टेक्स्ट नंबर 27 काइंडली रिपीट आफ्टर मी। तस्मात् सत्रम इदम राजन संस्थीयेताभिचारिकम् सर्पा अनागसो दग्धा जनैर्दिष्टम् हि भुज्यते तस्मात् सत्रम् इदम् राजन् संस्थीयेताभिचारिकम् सर्पा अनागसो दग्धा जनैर्दिष्टम् हि भुज्यते तस्मात् सत्रमिदं राजन् संस्थीयेताभिचारिकम् सर्पानागसो दग्धा जनैर्दिष्टम् हि भुज्यते संस्थीयेताभिचारिकम् अनागसो दग्धा निर्दिष्टम् हि भुज्यते Matajis, we'll read word-to-word translation, translation purport by the humble disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Word-to-word translation, Tasmat, therefore, Satram, sacrifice, Idam, this, Rajan, O King, Samsthiyeta, should be stopped, Abhicharikam, done with intent to harm, done with intent to harm. Sarpaha, the serpents. Anagasaha, innocent. Dagdaha, burned. Janai, by persons. Dishtam, fate. He, indeed. Bhujyate, is suffered. Translation. Therefore, my dear King, please stop the sacrificial performance which was initiated with the intent of doing harm to others. Many innocent snakes have already been burned to death. Indeed, all persons must suffer the unforeseen consequences of their past activities. Purport. The single line purport. Brihaspati here admits that although the snakes appeared to be innocent, by the Lord's arrangement, they were also being punished for previous vicious activities. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्री रूपं सागरजातां सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्री राधा कृष्णपादान् सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमोम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶ ತಾರಿಣೆ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ್ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಸೊ ಬಿಫೋರ್ ಸ್ಪೀಕಿಂಗ್ ಟುಡೇ ವಿ ಸೀಕ್ ದ ಬ್ಲೆಸಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸೊ ಫಾರ್ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ಫ್ಯೂ ಡೇಸ್ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಬಿನ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದಿ ಸರ್ಪ ಯಜ್ಞ ಪರ್ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಬೈ ಕಿಂಗ್ ಜನಮೇಜಯ ಅಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ in one sense is angered by what has happened to his very illustrious father, and that's why he wants to seek revenge. So we'll discuss this a little bit about what is this concept of yagya and what is the principle of yagya and why is something that is looking correct a dharmically elevated father, a devotee of the Lord and a very powerful king was unjustly for a small mistake cursed, and somebody is trying to do something, and not that he is trying to do it secretly, not that Janmejaya is having some secret plan in a conspiracy form or something, no, with the help of all the brahmanas and all he is doing it, and then Brihaspati is saying, don't do this, please don't do this, please stop this. So with that context, we'll try to see something. So in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, Lord Krishna is saying, Aham kratur aham yagya swadhaham aham aushadham mantroham aham evajam aham agnir aham hutam. So he's claiming, I am the ritual, I am the yagya, I am the mantra that is chanted, I am the ajam, the butter that is put in the yagya, the ghee that is put in the yagya, that is also I am. And then he says, I am Agnir, and any other Hutam also, that also I am there. Similarly, in the fourth chapter also, we have Brahmana, Adhaya, Karmani. So there also Krishna says that all the parts of the ritual of that yagya, it is basically in different forms, me, Brahma. And in 3.9, which is Yajnyarthat Karmano Anyatra Lokoyam Karma Bandhana, so the meaning of the shloka is, Krishna is telling Arjun, you should lead your life for the principle of yagya. And if you don't do that, then there is bandhana. So word-to-word translation, yagya is translated by Prabhupada as yagyarthat. Prabhupada says, done only for the sake of yagya or Vishnu. So Prabhupada here is equating the word yagya with Vishnu. In the purport, Prabhupada mentions, in the Vedic literature it is mentioned, yagyo vai Vishnu. That Vishnu and Yajna are basically interchangeable words. They mean one and the same. Third canto, we have the story of how the earth planet was submerged in the Garbhodak ocean and Lord Varaha appeared. And in that whole story, Lord Varaha, many times it comes that he is described as the personification of Yajna. So whenever we want to talk of Yajna, then we have to understand Varaha Dev is basically the personification of Yajna. So, in the beginning, this is third canto, chapter number 13, shloka number 13. Lord Brahma is speaking to Manu. Yesham natushto bhagavan yagya lingo janardanaha tesham shramohi aparthaya yadatmana drutah swayam. Yagya lingo janardanaha. Linga is form. So yagya lingam is the form of yagya janardan. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Janardan, Lord Krishna, is the form to accept all the results of sacrifice. If he is not satisfied, then one's labor for advancement is futile. So this is the principle that we are talking about. Finally, all the yagyas, aham kratur aham yagya, it should be done yagnyarthat, for the pleasure of Vishnu. If he is not satisfied, then one's labor for advancement is futile. He is the ultimate self, and therefore one who does not satisfy him certainly neglects his own interest. Prahlad Maharaj is also saying, Nate vidu swartha gatim hi Vishnu. Actual swartha is to please Vishnu. So again and again, throughout the Gita, Bhagavat and different places in the Bhagavat also. This is 3.13.23. I am taking the pastime of Yajna Purusha, that is Varahadev. So Lord Vishnu, as the Varaha, he roars to announce his arrival. In that shloka, he is called as Yajna Purusha. After some time, Lord Varaha dives into the ocean, and when he dives, such a huge form, the ocean is divided into two parts. And when that water flies in two parts, then it is mentioned, Shukdev Goswami is mentioning, it appeared as if the ocean god, with his two hands, is crying out to the Lord, please, please, save us. So there, the Supreme Lord Varaha is called as Yageshwara. Then, this is 3.13.34. After the Lord appears and he brings the earth out, then all the sages, they offer some prayers to him. So in that, he is called Yajna Bhavana. Yajna Bhavana, Prabhupada translates as one who is understood by performance of sacrifice. Yajna Purush, Yajneshwara, Yajna Bhavana. And then, when Lord Brahma and all the demigods assemble for a fight with Hiranyaksha, first he brings out the earth and then there is a fight. So this is 3.19.9. Here, this 3.18.20, he is called as Yajna Avayavayasya. Avayava is a part. And in the word-to-word translation, Prabhupada translates as, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose body, Yajna, is a part. Yajna Avayava. Then 3.19.9, in his boar form, the enjoyer of all sacrifices, actually Hiranyaksha throws a mace at Lord Varaha, and Lord Varaha kicks that mace with his left foot, very playfully. So there he is called Yajna Sukara. Sukara is boar. And usually in the Vedic culture, you know, any culture, a sukara is an animal which is playing almost in all dirty situations. It's an untouchable, especially sacrifice. Sacrifice, everything is supposed to be very pure. It's called Yajna Sukara. That this sukara, the boar incarnation, is actually a personification of Yajna. And then, in 3.19.30, he is called Akhila Yajna Tantave. And what is Akhila Yajna Tantave? The enjoyer of all sacrifices. So, we saw different words in this section. Yajna Purusha, Yajneshwara, Yajna Bhavana, Akhila Yajna Tantave, Yajna Sukaraha, and Yajna Avayava. And in this way, again and again the reference is Lord Vishnu is actually the personification of Yajna. 5.29, Krishna is mentioning about himself. Bhoktaram, Yajna Tapasam, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. So, there also he is saying, actually, any Yajna that is performed anywhere, any austerity that anybody is performing anywhere, actually the real person who should be pleased, people may not do that, but actually the real person to be pleased is me. And if you know this, then there is Shanti, Richati. So, basically we have come to a situation where we have discussed different points and we are saying that the aim of any Yajna is basically to please Lord Vishnu. Now, in Bhagavad Gita, Yam Imam Pushpitam Vacham Pravadanti Avipaschita, that section, Krishna is talking of how many people are swayed by different sacrifices that are mentioned in the Vedas. And many of those sacrifices are basically to go to the heavenly planets. They are not directly to worship Lord Krishna. So this is 2.42 and 4.3, and in the purport Prabhupada says, in the Vedas, many sacrifices are recommended for elevation to the heavenly planets, especially the Jyotishtoma sacrifices. In fact, it is stated that anyone desiring elevation to heavenly planets must perform these sacrifices, Jyotishtoma sacrifices. So now, we discussed how Yajna principle is to please Vishnu, but in 2.42 and 4.3, Prabhupada is saying that Jyotishtoma sacrifice is not to please Vishnu. Jyotishtoma sacrifices go to the heavenly planets and enjoy. So, in 9.16, in purport, this is Prabhupada's words. The Vedic sacrifice called Jyotishtoma is also Krishna. This is the first line of the purport. It means, from a limited perspective, Jyotishtoma sacrifice is to go to the heavenly planets. But from a bigger picture, in the same book, in different purports, Prabhupada is giving us another understanding. Even if somebody is performing the Jyotishtoma sacrifices and the primary aim is to go to the heavenly planets, because he is taking shelter of Krishna's plan. Krishna is telling him, if you want to go to heavenly planets, don't go like Ravan did. Today is Dashera, so we can make some references to Ravan also. He wanted to build a staircase to heaven. He did not want to follow the plan of Krishna. Krishna said, you want to enjoy, no problem, but you Jyotishtoma sacrifice in this way. This is my path. This is my staircase to heaven. You don't build a physical staircase to heaven. Don't cross my path. So in that sense, when somebody follows the Vedic path, Krishna's path, although it is not directly aimed at Krishna, But because he is submitting to the will of Krishna, somewhere Krishna is saying, that is also me. 4.25 to 4.29, there are 10 different types of sacrifices. Daiva, Yajna, Jnana Yajna, there is Yajna for the Brahmacharis, there is Yajna for the Grihasthas. After 4.25 to 4.29, in 4.30, Krishna says, Evam Sarva Yajna Vido. He says, in this way, all these people whom I mentioned, Evam Sarvam Yajna Vido, Yajna Kshapita Kalmasha, they get purified of the Kalmasha in their heart, and in this way, slowly, Yanti Brahma Sanatanam, slowly, in their way, they advance towards the spiritual path. Now, in that Yajnas, if you see, there is a Shravan Yajna, there is a, you know, the sense objects, and you, the Grihasthas offer their senses in the Yajna of the sense objects. Sorry, the sense objects in the Yajna of the senses. And so many different types of yagyas are mentioned. But Krishna says at the end, 4.30, he says, finally all of these, sarvam eva yagya vido, they advance. So Krishna is saying again and again, please don't look specifically at that yagya and the purpose of the yagya, but try to understand if they are submitting to my will, today, tomorrow, day after tomorrow, after next lifetime, whatever it is, but they are advancing on the right path. So, in Prithu Maharaj's case, again that yagya principle is coming. Here is a great king. He is an incarnation of the ruling potency of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord has unlimited potencies. One of the potencies is the ruling potency, the king's potency. And he is a personification. So, in that section it is mentioned, Charamena Ashwamedhena Charamena. Charam Sima bolte hai na, end. So, Charamena Ashwamedhena means, this is the last Ashwamedha Yajna, 100th Ashwamedha Yajna. Charamena Ashwamedhena Yajamane Yajushpatim Vainne Yajna Pashum Spardhan Apovaha Tirohitah Yajamane Yajushpatim. Yajushpatim again has Yajupati, Yajnapati. So this person, Vainya, the son of Vena, Prithu Maharaj, is doing Charamena Ashwamedhena. He is doing the last Ashwamedha sacrifice. Clearly, why is he doing it? Yajamane Yajushpatim. He is doing it to please Lord Vishnu. He is not doing Jyotishtoma sacrifices. He is not doing any one of those 10 sacrifices. Very clear. He himself is an incarnation of one of the potencies of Lord Vishnu. He knows what is right. He knows what is wrong. He wants to set an example. He is doing Ashwamedha sacrifice purely to please Vishnu. And in that sacrifice, in the same shloka, what is mentioned is, Yajna Pashum Apovaha Tirohitaha. Indra came and he stole away Yajna Pashu, the Ashwa, the horse. But why did he do that? The word is mentioned, Spardhan. In Hindi sometimes we use the word Spardha. Marathi also we use that word Spardha. Kyu kiya isne? Out of envy. The word to word translation says out of envy. So he was in a competitive spirit. And Prabhupada is seeing competitive spirit as equal to envy. So, this is clear that Prithu Maharaj is doing this sacrifice only for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu. And Indra is getting agitated unnecessarily out of a spirit of envy. He is coming and he wants to steal the horse. How did he steal the horse? He came in an invisible form, stole away the horse. And then suddenly everyone says, where is the horse? How will you perform the Ashwamedha sacrifice, which is primarily meant to please Vishnu? So, Atri Rishi sees, great sage. So he's saying, O son of Prithu, just see, you know, there is the thief in the sky. He is taking away the horse. And the son of Prithu Maharaj, he immediately runs behind that person. And then he sees, but that person is dressed in saffron cloths. He is a sadhu. So he says, I cannot shoot at a sadhu. So he keeps his bow down. Atri Rishi says, don't worry about it. He is a fake sadhu. Something like what Ravan did to kidnap Sita. So he is a fake sadhu. Kill him. Again, Prithu Maharaj's son takes up his bow and is ready to kill. Now Indra understands, now I am going to get shot dead. So Indra releases the horse and makes himself invisible and disappears from that place. So the horse is caught, work done, Prithu Maharaj's son brings the horse back. After some time, again suddenly there is darkness. And in that darkness, again Indra comes in the guise of a sadhu. He again steals the horse. Atri Rishi tells the son of Prithu Maharaj, look, the horse is going there, he is being stolen, kill him. He puts his arrow, sees that it is a sadhu. He says, I can't kill a sadhu. Atri Rishi says, he is a fake sadhu. You have to get the horse. And as he is about to shoot the arrow, Indra makes himself invisible and releases the horse. This happens not once, not twice, not thrice. This happens multiple times. And even though it is happening multiple times, the sequence is the same.
The sequence is, he comes in the guise of a sadhu. Atri Rishi points out, the son does not want to kill, but Atri Rishi says, no, you must kill, you must get the horse back, and then Indra releases. And in this whole thing that is happening, in a yajna that is primarily meant to please Vishnu, there are many people who are also sitting there. They have come to witness the sacrifice. One of them is Lord Vishnu himself. The yajna kunda represents Vishnu, and the person Vishnu is also sitting there. And because person Vishnu came there, Lord Shiva is there, Lord Brahma is there, all the Gandharvas are there, many Rishi Munis are there. And all this stealing business, once, twice, thrice, multiple times, is happening in the presence of Lord Vishnu. So, this is something that is very important to note. It is not only the intention of Prithu that he wants to please Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu is personally present there for the yajna. And then what happens is, at one particular time, Prithu Maharaj feels enough of this going back and forth. He takes up his own bow and arrow, and he is ready to shoot at Indra. And when he is ready to shoot at Indra, the Brahmanas who are performing the yajna, they say, stop, don't do this. Because we have come together to perform this Ashwamedha sacrifice after doing a lot of arrangements, and the blood should not fall. Anybody should not be killed except the sacrificial animal. So if you kill Indra there, this place will get contaminated. We can no longer perform this yajna. So what we will do is, give us a chance. We will, with our mantras, pull Indra into this yajna. Now in this Sarpa Yajna that we are doing, Takshak took shelter of Indra. And then the Brahmana said, if he is giving shelter to Indra, to Takshak, then maybe we will pull Indra also along with Takshak. And that's how the Sarpa Yajna started off. So similarly, those Brahmanas are saying, if Indra is doing all this, you tell us and we will pull Indra also here. And they are about to chant the mantras and throw that ahuti, in which Indra will be pulled into that yajna. And in this way there is no contamination of that yajna. The moment they are going to do that, Lord Brahma appears. And Lord Brahma tells the Brahmanas, please don't do this. Lord Vishnu, his hands is Lord Indra. Indra is a very important position. So please don't do this, please don't kill him. So they stop. Lord Brahma is worshipable. Then he turns to Prithu and he speaks something that is very interesting. He says, Masmin Maharaja Krithasma Chintam Nisham Mayasmad Vacha Adritatma Yadhyayato Daivahatam Nakartum Mano Tirushtam Vishate Tamondham. My dear king, do not be agitated and anxious because your sacrifices have not been properly executed due to providential impediments. He does not use the word because of the arrogance of Indra, because of the envy of Indra, because of the competitive spirit of Indra. He says providential arrangements. Why so? Because Lord Vishnu is personally sitting there. In the presence of Lord Vishnu, all this is happening. So he uses the word providential arrangements. Kindly take my words with great respect. We should always remember that if something happens by providential arrangement, we should not be very sorry. And then he says, the more we try to rectify such reversals, the more we enter into the darkest region of materialistic thought. So it is almost that Lord Brahma is saying, this was all sanctioned by Lord Krishna. And if it is sanctioned by Lord Krishna, although it appears to be something which is very wrong, if you try to go against that, because it is happening in the presence of Lord Vishnu, somewhere there is agreement of Lord Vishnu, it is like you are going against Lord Vishnu. And in that sense, if you go against Lord Vishnu, you are going against providence. And when you go against providence, you enter into the darkest regions of material thought. So sometimes, in our lives also, you know, this kind of things happen, that why is this happening? And it happens in the presence of Lord, it happens in the presence of the elders, it happens in the presence of the spiritual master. And then we wonder, but this is not supposed to happen, and why is this happening? So if you look at Krishna Leela, even Vrajavasis, every day so many demons are attacking, and they could say, why is this happening? In the presence of not Avatar Vishnu, it is happening in the presence of the Avatari Krishna. Avatari can give rise to Narasimha, Avatari can give rise to Parshuram, Avatari can give rise to Dashrath Putra Ram. All the incarnations are within the Avatari. So when Avatari is present, at that time also so many reversals are happening and so many catastrophes are coming. And what is affected? The homes of the Vrajavasis are affected. Sometimes their crops are affected. When there is a fire, the fire burns everything. Sometimes the kine, sometimes the cows and the bulls and the animals of Rajavasis are affected. One thing that is not affected in this whole Leela, Krishna Leela in Vrindavan, is the consciousness of the Rajavasis. And outside Vrindavan, even the Pandavas who are so dear to Krishna, in Krishna's presence, physical presence again, right there, Krishna is there. And in the presence of Krishna, so many reversals are happening and they can say, oh, why is this happening? How can it be allowed to happen? But it seems Krishna has his own plan of allowing things to happen. So for so many years, in the presence of Krishna, when Krishna is present on this planet, lot of injustice and lot of things that should not happen are happening to the Pandavas. And they feel if Krishna is there, somewhere it is sanctioned. And Bhishma also in his prayers he says, Muhyanti Kavayopihi. We don't know what is the plan of Krishna. Muhyanti Kavayopihi. So, Krishna also has his plan and he wants dharma to be established, but at what rate? When should dharma be established and when should adharma be destroyed? There is a certain sequence that Krishna has in his mind. And sometimes the sequence we may not be able to see and we may not be able to follow the rate at which that sequence is happening. So finally, after so many years, that Mahabharata war happens. And even in the beginning of the Mahabharata war, Arjun is confused. Again Krishna guides him. At the end of the Gita, Krishna says, Nashtamoho smitir labdha. Okay, Karishya vachanam tava. I am ready to follow your plan. So now Arjun has surrendered. Even after Arjun's surrender to Krishna, and even after Krishna in the 11th chapter assuring him, Nimitta matra bhava savya sache. Yes, victory is assured for you. So Krishna did not speak anything before, but now personally in his presence, his person is spoken. Nimitta matra. Everything is done. All of these warriors will be killed except you five. Everyone is going to be killed. After even he has spoken, it took 18 days. It's not that, okay, he did not speak, so we don't know what is his plan. But even after he reveals his plan, even after he speaks very clearly, still after that it took 18 days for something that was not tolerable to be stopped. And that 18 days happened after Arjun completely surrenders to Krishna. So in our lives, whenever we get a question, why in the presence of Krishna, why in the presence of everyone exalted, why is this happening? First question we can ask ourselves is, you know, are we in the phase of the Pandavas, Arjun's life, before he heard the Gita and before he said, Karishya Vachanam Tava? Or still there are some questions, maybe something can be done in this way, maybe something alternative solution also can be done in this way. And even after we feel, I have completely surrendered to Krishna, then in my heart there is no other desire except to serve Krishna, even after that, if Krishna tells us, okay, accepted, Karishya, you know, Nimitta Matra, now I'll use you as my instrument, after that also there are 18 days. One point of time, Srila Prabhupada was talking to his disciples and he was saying, if Krishna wants, Krishna can give us everything in 18 days. But he wants to know, are we qualified to handle everything? Even if Krishna gives us the whole world right now, are we qualified to run the world? Do we have that selflessness? Do we have that service attitude like Yudhishthir Maharaj? Do we have that service attitude like all these great personalities that are, they may be sadhus or they may be kings. So, if we understand this, then we understand, name bhaktah pranashyati. Name bhaktah pranashyati, that bhakta is not the body. Krishna has already told in the second chapter, you are not the body, you are spirit soul. So, name bhakta pranashyati, my devotee is always protected, never means the body of the devotee is protected. It does not mean the mind of the devotee is protected. It means the consciousness of the devotee is protected. So, while the Vrajavasis are undergoing different troubles, their consciousness was not affected. When the Pandavas are undergoing different troubles, their consciousness is not affected. Gajendra's consciousness is not affected, even though it's Indradumna Maharaj from previous lifetime. Jadbharat's consciousness is not affected. Ambarish Maharaj is facing a reversal. Right in front of him, a hair is uprooted and a rakshas comes. His consciousness is not affected. So here, the whole story is how in the presence of Lord Vishnu, if Indra is repeatedly doing some nonsense and Lord Vishnu is not saying anything, it means Lord Vishnu has a lesson to teach in that whole thing, and that lesson is Prithu Maharaj's consciousness should not be affected. Interestingly, Prithu Maharaj, immediately when Brahma told him, don't do this, there was no objection from Prithu Maharaj, and Prithu Maharaj kept quiet and Prithu Maharaj stopped it. He let down his bow and arrow, not out of frustration like Arjun in the end of the first chapter, out of obedience to his superiors, he laid it down. He surrendered to Lord Vishnu And Lord Brahma told him, what was the purpose of Yajna? The purpose of Yajna is to Yajyo Vai Vishnu. The purpose of any Yajna is to please Vishnu. So Vishnu is sitting here and he's not saying anything. Means if you stop the Charamena Ashwamedhena, if you stop the 100 sacrifices, that will please Vishnu. So your 99 sacrifices will become more famous than Indra's 100 sacrifices. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no mention of 100 Kratu. One of the names of Indra is Kratu. There is no... See, even one line, even one shloka, Indra performed 100 sacrifices. It is known from other Vedic literature in the Bhagavatam. Yes, you become Indra when you perform 100 sacrifices. But there is a long story about Prithu Maharaj, who in one sense did only 99 sacrifices. And there is a story about the 99 club. You know, there is a small niti or moral story that one person got a bag outside his home and this bag only had 99 gold coins. And when he had this 99 gold coins, he felt, oh, maybe something is wrong. I didn't count it properly. He again started counting it. Again it is 99. He gave it to somebody else. Again it is 99. Then he felt, oh, maybe somebody wanted to gift me. God wanted to gift me. Some rich man wanted to gift me 100 coins and somehow he forgot. But that 100 figure sounds very nice, right? 99 figure does not sound like. So he worked hard to earn that one gold coin. And then he could tell people, you know what? I have 100 gold coins. Sounds odd to tell people I have 99 gold coins. Started working hard. He earned that one gold coin. And then somebody came to him and said, how's everything going? He said, very good. How? He said, no, I'm working very hard and by the way, I also have 100 gold coins. So he said, actually, you know, your family members complained to the king that this person is so lazy, he does not do any work, he does not maintain his family, so how to get him to act? So that carrot was given to you. 99 gold coins de diye, tumko abhi ek gold coin to kamao, to 100 gold coins ho jayega. And because of earning that 100 gold coin, now you became a busy man and now you become a responsible man. So in that situation, that 99 gold coins is the reason of his dissatisfaction. Oh, 99 gold coins? I want 100 gold coins. And then he started working hard. So every day in our own lives, we are attached to a number. We are attached to a figure. We are attached to a certain status. If this, then success. Anything below this, one figure below 100, not success. But Prithu Maharaj, because Brahmaji said and he pointed out, this is Vidhi. This is Lord Vishnu sitting here, so please stop it. And in this way, he achieved not the success of the ritual yajna, but he achieved the success of the purpose of the yajna. The purpose of the yajna is to please Lord Vishnu. And in one sense, that is what Brihaspati is telling Janmejaya here. See, your father, he is Vishnu Rat. And Vishnu Rat had so many blessings of Lord Vishnu. Through his father, through his grandfather, through his grandmother, Subhadra, who is a sister of Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu personally protected him. His whole life is full, saturated with mercy of Lord Vishnu. How can this Vishnu tolerate any inconvenience of your father? So please try to understand that your father, if he was cursed, it was as per the will of Vishnu. Vishnu is personally present in Prithu Maharaj's sacrifice. Similarly, Lord Vishnu is personally present as Lord Krishna in your father's life, Parikshit's life. And Parikshit, describing himself at the beginning of the 10th canto, first chapter, he says, Drauniyastra viplushtam idam madangam santana bijam kuru pandavanam. He says, you know, Drauniyastra viplushtam, my whole body was burnt. And actually, I was the last seed. I was the last surviving seed. Everyone else was killed. Of santana bijam kuru pandavanam. Jugopa kukshim gata ata chakram. Lord Vishnu entered with a chakra into the womb of my mother. And matu chameya sharanam gataya. So, you know, he saved me. So this is Parikshit Maharaj's constant remembrance of Lord Vishnu. And in this situation, if Parikshit Maharaj was cursed to die and he was killed by Takshak in the presence of everyone, in one sense, Brihaspati is telling Janmejaya, this is also accepted by Lord Vishnu. So when you are performing this Sarpa Yajna, in one sense, you are going against the will of Lord Vishnu. Please don't do it. So in our lives, when we read such pastimes, this question comes. If we see something wrong, should we object? Should we keep quiet? Because if you keep quiet, it hurts. And you have this question, oh, I should have spoken, but then you feel, no, it is happening in the presence of so many pure personalities. Should I not? So, what we can do is, we can always speak. Yes? And not only we speak objecting to what is happening, which we feel is wrong, but we speak not only the objection, we speak a positive alternative to that. Many times, if we just speak a objection, this should not happen. then it may not actually reflect a proper attitude on our part. So, okay, you feel this is wrong. So, you present a positive alternative. And when you present a positive alternative, get it checked. So, yes, Prithu Maharaj, Atri Rishi was there telling him, kill him, get the horse. But when Prithu Maharaj was ready, then Brahmaji came stopped. Yes? So, get it confirmed. Because sometimes we have a limited perspective of what is right and what is wrong. As we spend more time in Krishna consciousness, we understand what seemed wrong from a lower perspective was right from a bigger perspective. In the beginning years, when I joined the ashram, I heard a story. One of our brahmacharis, he told me that one senior brahmachari at that time, he's still a senior brahmachari, but he gave a super heavy brahmachari class. And in that heavy brahmachari class, he spoke how brahmachari should never ever read newspapers. And spoke for quite some amount of time. And in those days, you know, internet was not there, nobody had a smartphone. So the only way to get news was newspapers. And the only newspaper was in Narayan's gift shop downstairs. So after giving a super heavy brahmachari class, this brahmachari, he was also new at that time, he got super inspired. He said, no more Maya, no more Kali Puran, different words used for newspapers. And next day, he went downstairs for getting something from Narayan's shop. And he saw that same senior brahmachari who had given a heavy brahmachari class on don't read newspapers, reading a newspaper in Narayan's gift shop. So Narayan's gift shop, you know, he has a chair. The senior brahmachari, he was in charge of that shop at that time. He's sitting in the chair and he has this big newspaper like this. And he's reading it. And this brahmachari, he entered the shop, he saw what is happening and he was actually shocked. And he had a difficult time with his faith. So he came out. So, you know, typical brahmachari, to join the ashram is not easy. It has a lot of sacrifices involved. Going against your parents, going against your friends, going against so many people object. There is hardly one person who says, I think you should at least try it out. And after doing that, when you see some senior source of inspiration speaking something, and the next day he himself is violating that, actually he told me I was heartbroken. And this heartbroken is not an emotional heartbroken. This heartbroken is, you know, when your foundation of spiritual life says, I went against everyone in my life. And did I come here to participate in the activities of those who are hypocrites? And then what happened is, he went to the temple president at that time. And he said, Prabhu, I cannot speak. How can he do this? Like that. So the temple president, he said, I would seriously advise you to go and talk to him personally. Don't ask a public question. Why did you do this? And this brahmachari had a tough time doing this, but then he had respect for the temple president. So with all due respect, he went over to that brahmachari and he said, Prabhuji, aapne us din itna heavy brahmachari class diya, and then next day you yourself are reading newspapers. So how to understand, I want to know. And then the senior brahmachari said, I am also the in charge of the temple kitchen. And in those days, it was a rainy season, so there was a situation about floods. There was some forecast about floods and all that. And, you know, today news travels very fast that IMD, Indian Meteorological Department, also gives a forecast. Everything is very public information. In those days, it was not so public. This is 2004, 2003, 2005, around that time. So he said, there was a talk going around Bombay that it can be flooded. And in those days, you know, the bridge, the Vashi Bridge, was the way through which grains and sabjis and all would come here. So it can get stopped. So this brahmachari who was in charge of the temple kitchen those days was reading the newspaper that particular day to find out any indication of, you know, when that storm is coming, or is there anything that some traders are stocking up grains. So he, in the good interest of Radha Gopinath, was wanting to stock up grains. He wanted to stock up grains so that the temple's economy is not affected and we don't have to purchase at a later time because of ill planning, lack of planning. We have to purchase grains at a very high price, and that's why he was reading the newspapers. Obviously he was not reading newspaper or anything else. And when this brahmachari spoke that story, the reason why he was reading the newspaper, then this heartbroken brahmachari again began dancing in Guru Puja. He became happy. So he was saying how what appeared to be a case of hypocrisy, what appeared to be a case of serious breach of your own words, from my limited perspective, appeared to be serious commitment to Radha Gopinath from another perspective. And that's why I was mentioning that from our perspective, wherever we are, we don't know. We don't know many facts. We don't know the history of what has happened. We don't know the, you know, so many things which cannot be spoken right here on the Vyasasana. And that's why sometimes it's very easy to say, this is wrong, why is this happening? Why is this happening in the presence of the deities? Why is this happening in the presence of the spiritual master? Why is this happening in the presence of the senior devotees? See, the players in Vankhede Stadium, when they are playing a cricket match, every single person other than those 22, and out of this 22, only 2 from one team and 11 from one team. They are there. 13 people are on the pitch, on the ground. And there are how many lakhs and thousands of people in the stadium. If you ask every single person, how should this match go? Everyone has an opinion. Pehla batting order mein ye aana chahiye. Second ye aana chahiye. Third ye aana chahiye. Every single of those thousands of people sitting in the stadium has a plan for the team. And then you ask those 2 batsmen, what do you feel about the match? They say, I'll tell you something, my captain in the morning told me a plan. My captain has given me a plan how I should score, but if you ask me frankly, I don't know how this match will go, because the bowlers, you know, every ball is a new ball. Every attack from the opposite team is a different attack. So yes, my captain told me a plan. I don't know how this match is going to go. Sometimes the most expert batsmen get bowled at zero. And the plan has to change. The captain has to catch hold of the third or the fourth person and give an alternate plan. And meanwhile, all the spectators in the Vankhede Stadium are saying, damn it, why is this person not playing properly? We put so much, yes, betting on this person. And, you know, he's such a big hit. And why is he not playing? You ask those 2 people playing on the pitch. How does it feel to face every new ball? And that's why it's very easy to say, why is this happening, this is wrong, this should be stopped and that should not happen and all that. But then, when we ourselves start playing the match, then we understand the challenges of every new ball and handling everything in that situation. So that's why, finally, the mapadanda, you know, the benchmark for understanding what is success and what is not success is not whether things happen as per our plan or not as per our plan. The benchmark for success is to actually analyze whatever I was doing when I was doing, whatever I was suggesting when I was suggesting, did I mam anusmara yudhyacha? Krishna did not say mam anusmara vijayacha. He said mam anusmara yudhyacha. You try, and while trying, before you try, you remember me. So the benchmark for a success will be you propose. And you don't just propose objections, you propose an alternative. And when you propose an alternative along with your objection, please try to analyze yourself, are you mam anusmara? Are you honestly glorifying Lord Vishnu? Are you honestly remembering Lord Vishnu? If you do that, and you present, and if it is accepted, very good. You get a chance to undo the wrong and do something positive. And if after mam anusmara, with pure intentions, with pure remembrance, you are suggesting an alternative, but it is not accepted, okay, Lord Vishnu is personally present, but he is not speaking anything. Lord Krishna is personally present, but he is not speaking anything. Only at the end of the life, there was a war in which 18 days also were needed. So, okay, so many things are happening. There is a vidhi, it is Lord Vishnu's presence, what can be done? But you be safe with your own consciousness. Don't try to contaminate your consciousness. The wealth of a sadhaka is not his money. It gets demonetized. The wealth of a sadhaka is basically his consciousness. We may be grihasthas, we may be sannyasis, we may be brahmacharis, we may be whatever. Protect your consciousness. Who are our enemies? Our enemies are those who destroy our consciousness. If you see anybody is disturbing your consciousness, stay away from that person. It's better to protect your consciousness than to let your consciousness be contaminated and then do something and then again beg for forgiveness and, you know, a lot many things happen then after that. Yes. So, I'm going to discuss about 6 kinds of people in respect to good and bad, because we are discussing about good and bad. There is one person who sees only good. In this world, he sees only good. One time after Gurukul completion, then Dronacharya called the lead disciples, Yudhishthira on one side and Duryodhana on one side, he's telling Dronacharya, my dear Dronacharya, your education is complete. Just go around and get somebody who's inferior to you. Okay, Guru Maharaj, whatever you say. Duryodhana, come here. Go around and find out somebody who is superior to you. Yes, Guru Maharaj, whatever you say. Roughly, both are from the same family, same upbringing, same food, everything physically same education also, same guru also, same samskaras also. Same itihas also. Same family. And then, when they go around in roughly the same area, they come back. At the end of the day, Yudhishthira says, you came empty-handed. Sorry, Guru Maharaj, but I didn't meet anybody who is lower than me. Sorry, I failed. Duryodhan, what happened to you? Sorry, Guru Maharaj, I failed. I didn't see anybody superior to me. I am the most superior. So two students, one saw only good and only good in everyone else, and one saw only something inferior in everything else. The third category is, they see both good and bad, but they focus on the good. They can see both, but they focus. Example for this is Suniti. Suniti is somebody who has faced discrimination from her husband. Her husband does not like her. She is not so beautiful as Suruchi. But just think about it. When Dhruva is insulted and Dhruva is not able to understand why is this happening, it's my father. Cannot I sit on my father? Mata soteli hoti hai, pita soteli nahi hote. There is no stepfather, the stepmother. He wants to sit there and he is insulted. And when he is insulted, he knows one person who will comfort him. So I was thinking, here is a person who's subjected to emotional torture her whole life. Because she's not beautiful. She's not the favorite wife. So anytime there is something going on, Uttanapad Maharaj will neglect Suniti. So here is a person who's been neglected in her own life. No love, no affection, no prominence. Neglected. Made. Yes. And this lady has so much optimism, has so much affection, and so much love in her heart for her child, that when the child is insulted, child knows mother, right? So if he would have seen, my mother is a depression case. Bachpan se main dekh raha hu, maa hamesha meri dukhi rehti hai, moroz rehti hai. Why? Because, you know, my father always neglected. So generally, you know, the nature of a mother is known to the child. The child knows, I have been hurt. The only person capable of uplifting me is my mother. And who is that mother? That person who's always been suppressed by his father. So here is a person who's suppressed by fate, suppressed by her husband, but she has unlimited potential to uplift the most depressed person. This is a very interesting case. Generally, we can uplift somebody if somebody has uplifted us. And if we don't receive love from somebody, then we have that reason to not share that love with others. If somebody comes to us and says, why is this happening? Mujhe mat poochho. Mereko to aisa kabhi kisi ne bataya nahi. I didn't receive any affection, so don't expect affection from me. We will only give what we have received. Suniti is such an amazing Vaishnavi. She never received love, she never received attention, but she is giving so much love to Dhruva. So Dhruva Maharaj comes there, he's hissing like a snake. And when he comes hissing like a snake, it is mentioned some of the, the servants of the palace had already come and told Suniti. This had happened. And Suniti herself is in deep pain. And Suniti is also described, she is also breathing heavily when Dhruva Maharaj comes. And when Dhruva Maharaj comes, he narrates the whole incident. And Suniti is also breathing heavily. And it is mentioned, she also was breathing, 4.8.17, she also was breathing very heavily, and she did not know the factual remedy for the painful situation. She cannot go tell the husband, why did you do that? She does not know. But what did she speak? She herself has faced discrimination, but somebody who has faced discrimination is coming to her for advice. What do you do in this situation? Jiske saath janam bhar anyay hua hai, jab uske paas koi aata hai, jiske saath anyay hua hai, what will be? It's revenge. Usually this is what happens. Oh, so much anyaya, so much injustice against me, and now injustice against you, this is it. We'll poison your father. We'll do something terrible. Yes, usually that is what. Not finding any remedy, she said to her son, these are the first words that come from Suniti's mouth. My dear son, don't wish for anything inauspicious for others. Anyone who inflicts pain upon others suffers himself from that pain. Ma amangalam tata params mamstha. Amangalam, please don't think amangalam for anybody. Whatever somebody does, they will face their own reaction. I was thinking, how come she has so much positivity? In my daily reading of the Bhagavatam, I'm reading third canto, 26th chapter. Last shloka of the 26th chapter is shloka number 72. So in shloka number 72, in the last paragraph, it begins with this words, these are not exact words, but you can check out. Last paragraph, first sentence, 3.6.72. Prabhupada says, in the first canto of the Bhagavatam also it is mentioned, that when we perform devotional service to Lord Vishnu, we become joyful. Then he says, when we perform devotional service to Lord Krishna, we become joyful. And in that joyful attitude, we can understand the absolute truth. Unless we are joyful, it is not possible. These three lines Prabhupada writes. I was thinking, if you perform devotional service, you become joyful. Tada rajastamo bhava kama lobhadayashe. Chetaira anavidam sthitam sattve prasidati. So when you perform devotional service, you become joyful. And for the first time, I read a direct statement, something like Prabhupada's in purports. In that joyful attitude, you can understand the absolute truth. Otherwise, it is not possible. Clearly, it is not possible. So, Suniti is somebody who is advising, don't wish anything inauspicious. But did she just speak the negative? Aisa mat karna, Dhruv. Don't do this. Okay, can I do this? Don't do this. Did she just speak the negative? No. She said, don't do this. And she gave a positive alternative. You want what you want? You go to the Supreme Lord. She understands the Supreme Lord. She understands the mamata of the Supreme Lord. She says, you want affection from my mother, from your mother, I am your mother. But what affection can I give? The Supreme Lord can give affection of millions of mothers. So she just does not know the Aishwarya of the Lord. She understands the Madhurya of the Lord also. She understands the kind-heartedness of the Lord also. So here is a person who has understood the Supreme Lord. Here is a person who has understood the Supreme Absolute Truth. And Prabhupada is mentioning in that purport, unless you have a joyful attitude, you cannot understand the Absolute Truth. So here is Suniti, who has understood the Absolute Truth. So we can say in her heart, she was joyful. Whatever my husband is doing, whatever my co-wife is doing, they have their adhikar to use their free will to behave in a way with me. But I have my adhikar, I have my free will to behave with somebody who looks up to me. So many times in our lives, there are people who disrespect us. There are people who look down upon us. There are people who will treat us like a dustbin. When we are sitting and talking to them, we are talking to them, and when they reply, they look there. We are talking to them, and without looking at what we are talking, they are looking at who is talking. So there is a senior person and you are a junior person. Yes? And over a period of time, 10, 15, 20 years in the ashram, finally, you know, you have that attitude and you have that feeling of respect. But sometimes, you know, when there is a meeting going on and there is some management issue going on, we are not discussing Bhagavatam. So we say, but Prabhuji, you know, this should be like this. Yeah. And just because you have joined the ashram some years later, or you have joined the congregation some years later, or because by a post you are a counselor and somebody is a counselee, what is being spoken is neglected and who is speaking is given more prominence. And just because somebody, oh, you are not my equal. When did you join and when did I join? When did you become a devotee? When did I become a devotee? All those factors are given more importance. So there will be people who will disrespect you for the wrong reasons. There will be people who will neglect you for the wrong reasons. That is what happened to Suniti. But there will also be a Dhruv in your life. There will be Uttanapad in your life. There will be Suruchi in your life. But there will be Dhruv in your life. What happens to us is, we get so overwhelmed by the disrespect and the neglect and the insults of Uttanapad Maharaj and Suruchi, we end up neglecting Dhruv also. And when Dhruv comes to us for shelter, when Dhruv comes to us for some emotional support, we are so morose, getting affected by Uttanapad Maharaj and Suruchi, that we sit down and say, No, so much injustice is happening in my life also. I never received any affection from anybody. I never received anything from anybody. How can I give you? We have to face this challenge like Suniti. Let people do what they want to us, but we have to choose. Let not the will of somebody to insult us, let not the will of somebody to make us depressed, overwhelm, overpower our potential to uplift somebody. जिसको जो करना है करे, हमको जो करना है वो हम करें. That story about that scorpion was again and again stinging that sadhu. Scorpion falls into water, sadhu was taking it out, and the scorpion was thinking, oh, here is an enemy, he would sting. And when he stings, the sadhu would give up. He cannot hold. And the scorpion again falls into water. Again he picks up, again it stings. Again he gives up, again he falls. So then somebody asked, what are you doing? He said, the scorpion is not giving up his dharma. So why should I give up my dharma? So here is Suniti, who saw good and bad. She is not blind, but she learned to focus on the good. And this is a lesson for all of us also. Her solution for Dhruva is not rajasic. Her solution for Dhruva is not tamasic. Tamasic means, you know what, I am also crying in my, what is that, Kopa Bhavan. Kaikeyi had a Kopa Bhavan. So I am also sulking in my Kopa Bhavan for so many years. Now you also join. You also, both of us will cry. I will give you a tissue, I will give you a handkerchief and you give me a handkerchief. Not tamasic and not rajasic. Let's seek out some revenge. She said, I am a devotee of the Lord. I can never give tamasic advice. I can never give rajasic advice. All I can give is minimum sattva. And what she gave is beyond sattva. It started with sattva. Don't wish inauspicious. And then she said, you go to Krishna. Shuddha sattva. So Krishna also, first chapter, you know, Arjun is morose. Arjun sits down. What is Krishna's advice? Krishna does not say, okay, both of us will go. You are my friend, I am your friend, both of us will cry. He does not say, what happened? When did this whole injustice happen? In a dyuta krida, in a gambling, let's organize another gambling. This time I will be there. Let's cheat them more than what they could cheat you. No revenge, no depression. Krishna says, I'll enlighten you. So sattva gun has two characteristics. One is happiness and one is knowledge. So Krishna gave knowledge and through knowledge he brought him to the level of happiness. And then finally in 2.61, for the first time Krishna mentions, I am not just your guide on the path, I am the destination of the path also. Finally you have to do your duty for pleasing me. So this is Krishna and this is Vaishnavas. They see good and bad, but they focus on the good. The fourth category is somebody who sees both bad and good, but focuses on the bad. So this is an example that comes to my mind. You could also think of some examples, but some example that comes to my mind is Asti and Prapti. After Krishna kills Kamsa, they both go and complain to their father. They say, actually he is a nephew. And nephew killed maternal uncle. Bhanje ne mama ji ko mara. Dekho kitna bada anyaya kar diya. Kitna uddhat ladka hai. Such an arrogant child. I think we must kill. The father, Jarasan, he comes 17 times. And how much army he comes to destroy one city? The total army in Mahabharata war was 18 Akshahoni. 11 and 7. And Jarasan 17 times, he brings 23 Akshahoni army. What for? Two boys. Krishna and Balaram. I will slaughter them. Why? Because they killed the husband of my daughters. Now they didn't say, they didn't reveal the other part of the story to their father, that my husband, by the way, I forgot to tell you, you know, that for 11 and a half years, almost every day he tried to slaughter those small boys right from their age of 6 months or something. The first demoness, Putana, was at 6 months. So, what is that? Few days. So, they didn't reveal that part of the story. Thank you, Prabhuji. They didn't reveal that part of the story. So, now they see the good and the bad. They know what is good and bad. And Jarasandha also knows Krishna and Balaram. In fact, you know, when that wrestling match happened, seeing the size of Chanur and Mushtik and seeing the size of Krishna and Balaram, some of the Mathuravasis got up and left. They said, this is injustice. We cannot be part of this injustice. It is gross injustice. That was not spoken by Asti and Prapti. So this is something that we should avoid. The fifth category is, they see good where there is no good. It is fully black. It is fully bad. But they choose. They can see that good. This is a story about Srila Ramachandra Puri visiting Puri Dham in the presence of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this Ramachandra Puri, previously he has earned by his own, I'm saying earned with a specific purpose, because he behaved in that way. He has earned the curses of his spiritual master, Srila Madhavendra Puri. He tried to instruct his spiritual master. And he has earned the curses. Instead of blessings, he has earned the curses of Madhavendra Puri. And when he comes here, he has this habit. He becomes a nindakar. Everything he sees Ninda. And he goes around Puri visiting different devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, always criticizing them. It starts with criticizing Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami. And different devotees, when he visits their home for prasad, he's a sannyasi. He's on the level of the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya, who's their leader. So everyone respectfully invites them for prasad. And every home he goes, he gets details about Lord Chaitanya's daily routine. And he criticizes Lord Chaitanya. And this news comes to Lord Chaitanya. He keeps on criticizing you. Lord Chaitanya keeps quiet. One day he, without being announced, he visits the home of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He sees some ants there. A tropical country. Ants are there everywhere. He says, just see. This sannyasi is a sense enjoyer. Yesterday night there must be some sweet here. And that's why ants are there. All imaginary. There was no sweet, there was no nothing there. He's just cooking up different stories in his own mind. And he says, just see, this sannyasi is not regulated in his eating habits. And that's why there are ants. And he's criticizing Lord Chaitanya on his face. And when this is understood by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all that he has heard is proven true. And then he says, Govinda, from today onwards, I am going to reduce my eating to half. And Govinda, before he can speak something, he says, please don't discuss more on this. And this news goes around to the residents of Puri. Every single person in Puri, it is mentioned by the author, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, it is as if thunderbolt falls on their head that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is so fond of eating Mahaprasad, is no longer going to eat Prasad, he is going to eat half. All the residents of Puri decide, if Mahaprabhu is eating half, we will also eat half. The whole town of Puri, for 3 or 4 months, they ate only half their capacity. And everyone is thinking, why did Ramachandra Puri visit Puri? And when this happens, one of the godbrothers of Ramachandra Puri is there in Puri, Paramananda Puri. So now the juniors cannot talk about the seniors, but equals. So Paramananda Puri comes to Lord Chaitanya and he says, I am on the level of your spiritual master. I am instructing you, don't take this word seriously. There is no truth in his words. He has that kind of attitude. And you know that story that happened with Madhavendra Puri. So please don't take it seriously. I am telling you, neglect those words. Do what is normal. And Lord Chaitanya says, he is on the level of my spiritual master. I have to obey his words. And finally, one day on his own, when this news of eating half by Lord Chaitanya goes to Ramachandra Puri, Ramachandra Puri again comes to Lord Chaitanya and says, you know what? You don't know the Gita. Na ati ashnatastu yogosti, na cha ekantam anashnata, na cha ati swapna shilasya, jagruto naiva charjana, yukta ahara viharasya, yukta cheshtasya karmasya, yukta swapnava bodhasya, yogo bhavati dukkha. 6.16 and 17, he says, you were eating too much, then I told you to reduce, so now you have gone to another extreme, you are eating half? You don't know sannyas? You can't balance your eating? So he's quoting Krishna's words to Krishna. It's quite interesting. So then what does Lord Chaitanya say? No defense. Again he keeps quiet. So, you know, this is how things happen. And after some time on his own, Ramachandra Puri exits from Puri. And there Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes, all the residents of Puri felt that day that there was a huge stone on their head that they were carrying, and that stone fell down. And it is mentioned, without speaking anything to anybody for 4 months about his diet, he just spoke reducing, and that he carried out. The day Ramachandra Puri left Puri, Lord Chaitanya again resumed his diet. But there is no reason given why, there is no complaint, no nothing. So where the spiritual master of Ramachandra Puri said, he is not a proper person. The equals of Ramachandra Puri said, he is not a proper person. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself knows what is there. He is there in the heart as a Paramatma. He also knows. Where there is no good, Lord Chaitanya saw good. No, my seniors are instructing me, I keep quiet. So this is the fifth category of persons. And the sixth category of people is, they see bad where there is no bad. There is something wrong with their eyes. So here we will make a reference to Manthara. Manthara is on the streets, and on the day when the announcement was made that tomorrow there is Rajabhishek, she is Kaushalya Devi giving lot of charity. Kaushalya is one of the neglected queens. She is never in such a mood of distributing charity. Distributing charity means you have to be very happy. So how come she is happy? So she asks some of the Nagarvasis, why is she distributing charity? Don't you know, Ram has been declared to be the next heir to the throne, and tomorrow there is Rajabhishek. If she becomes, then what happens to Kaikeyi? And if Kaikeyi is not the most exalted, most favorite queen, then what happens to me? So, triggered by selfishness, Manthara sits and cooks up an entire story which does not exist. And with that whole cooked up story, she goes to Kaikeyi and falls at her feet. So, this is deception. You know, when somebody falls at your feet, you feel that person is your well-wisher, that person is making a request. Hindi mein arji bolte hai na, arji de rahe. Arji nahi de rahe. Aapko instruction de rahe. But she falls at her feet, and catching Kaikeyi's feet, she's instructing Kaikeyi. Don't you know, you fool, you don't understand what is happening. The king fooled you all these years. The king showed that you are the most favorite queen, but actually, the whole conspiracy is that Kaushalya is the most favorite queen, and now she'll become the mother of, you know, the next king. And then, Kaikeyi says, what are you speaking? I love Ram more than anybody, and Ram also loves me so much more, and I have full faith that there is no such thing. You are cooking a conspiracy. There is nothing there, and you are just imaginary. But the fault of Kaikeyi is, she did not remove her ear from that conversation. When the first time she spoke poison, Kaikeyi could have said, I don't believe you, but you are from a maternal home. I can't say anything to you, but you just leave this place. But she kept on listening. So little poison, not a problem. Little poison plus little poison, not much of a problem. Little poison plus little poison plus little poison plus little poison. Slowly, when you repeatedly listen to somebody who's feeding poison to you, then it becomes unlimited poison. But not that the first time it was unlimited poison, you allowed that little poison to increase slowly, slowly, slowly. It became so much unlimited poison that somebody who had love for Ramchandra in her heart was contaminated. And then slowly she also developed poisonous attitude. So sometime back, for something, we are reading Harinam Chintamani, and in Harinam Chintamani, Srila Haridas Thakur, when he's speaking on the first offense, that, you know, blaspheming the devotees of the Lord who have dedicated their lives for propagating the holy names of the Lord. In that, I came across a very beautiful concept, that why should we not do Asat Sangha? We are talking of Asat Sangha. Kaikeyi is repeatedly doing Asat Sangha of Manthara. So, we know the first line from Chaitanya Charitamrit, but this is Haridas Thakur's line. Asat Sangha Tyage Haya Vaishnava Achar. Lord Chaitanya tells. Asat Sangha Tyage Ei Vaishnava Achar. So Haridas Thakur is telling Lord Chaitanya, Asat Sangha Tyage Haya Vaishnava Achar. Asat Sangha Haya Sadhu Avagya Apar. Asat Sangha Haya Sadhur Avagya Apar. So the translation says, the quality of a Vaishnava is, he gives up Asat Sangha, and if you do Asat Sangha, then you learn to do Avagya. Then you do lot of Avagya to sadhus, to saintly personalities. And Lord Ramchandra is the Supreme Lord, he is the greatest saintly person. So what made Kaikeyi do Avagya? What made Kaikeyi to insult Lord Ramchandra? Asat Sanghe Haya Sadhu Avagya Apar. So this is six types of people. Manthara represents that category of people where there is no bad. There is nothing, no conspiracy, no evil intentions, but she saw bad and she was also successful in transmitting all that. Because today is Dashera, such a very special festival. So just some discussion about that. This is from the Bhagavatam 9.10.22. There is only one shloka that Lord Ramchandra speaks to Ravan. When finally there is an encounter in the Bhagavatam, there is only one shloka, which we have noted. And the translation of today's shloka, we'll just read the translation purport. Therefore, my dear king, please stop this sacrificial performance which was initiated with the intent of doing harm to others. The intention of the sacrifice was doing harm to others. Many innocent snakes have already been burned to death. Indeed, all persons must suffer the unforeseen consequences of their past activities. You know, with reference to this shloka, I can picturize, let's see if you can also think about this, that Vibhishan is telling Ravan, you know, we spoke about different yajnas in the beginning of the class. There was Daiva Yajna, and there was Shravan Yajna, and there was Jyotishtoma Yajna. So now we are saying, whole life, what did Ravan do? Ravan did a Kama Yajna. In the fire of his lust, he is basically sacrificing different people. You are meant, Mad Arthe Tyakta Jivita. Duryodhan in the first chapter says, Mad Arthe Tyakta Jivita. This whole army is assembled to die for me. So Ravan is looking at all the Rakshasas in Ravan and in Lanka and saying, Mad Arthe Tyakta Jivita. Why have you appeared in this world? To die in the fire of my lust. So, see if you can picture as this. Vibhishan is telling Ravan, therefore, my dear king, stop the sacrificial performance of your Kama Yajna. Band kar do abhi hai. Which was initiated with the intent of doing harm to others. Kitne logon ko hani pahunchayi tumne tumhare Kama Yajna ke wajah se. Many innocent Rakshasas, replacing the words here, it is mentioned many innocent snakes have been killed. But many innocent Rakshasas have been burned to death. Indeed, all persons, you, suffer the unforeseen consequences of your past activities. So Vibhishan is telling Ravan that please stop this. And Lord Ramchandra, of course, Ravan didn't listen. Ravan wanted to do this Kama Yajna. And the last Ahuti in that Kama Yajna, after all the Rakshasas After his own son Indrajit, before that Kumbhakarna, before that all those other demons, Naran, Taka, and all those different names are given. Now, what is the last ahuti in that yajna? Usually, there is a yajman. The yajman means the person for whom the yajna is going on. And then there is a hota. Hota means the person who puts on behalf of the yajman. The hota will never ever put the yajman as an ahuti. The whole yajna is going on for the benefit of the yajman. The striking characteristic of kama yajna, it's a fire. Krishna says, Mahashano Mahapapma, it's a burning fire and blazes. One characteristic of all the yajnas and the kama yajna difference is, in all the other yajnas, the yajman never becomes the ahuti. In kama yajna, the last ahuti after everyone is burnt is the yajman himself. So this is the words of Lord Ramchandra to Ravan, and you can feel how the hota, Ramchandra, is going to put the final ahuti in that kama yajna. Abhi tujhe hi dalta hu andar. So what is Lord Ramchandra's words? Lord Ramchandra said to Ravan, you are the most abominable of the man-eaters. Indeed, you are like their stool. Lord Ramchandra's words. You resemble a dog, for as a dog steals eatables from the kitchen in the absence of the householder, in my absence, you kidnapped my wife, Sita Devi. Therefore, as Yamraj punishes sinful men, I shall also punish you. You are most abominable, sinful and shameless. Of course, kama dinam katina katida. Kama makes you do all the shameless. Na tripa, na upashanti. Therefore, as Yamaraj punishes sinful men, I shall also punish you. You are most abominable, sinful and shameless. Today, therefore, I, whose attempt never fails, shall punish you. I'll put you into the kama yajna. You are the last ahuti, and that is how this kama yajna will be finalized. So Lord Ramchandra killed Ravan today, and after Ravan's body was lying there, the Ramayana, Valmiki Ramayana describes, when all the wives of Ravan came, then they saw it as a huge mountain of kajal, collyrium. So kajal ka ek dheeg hai, blackish body but huge body, and they saw it like that, and then Mandodari comes. So Mandodari's words, she is also a very philosophical person. She is a sati. So she understands what is right and what is wrong. So she says, Indriyani pura jitva jitantri bhuvanam tvaya smarad iva tadvairam smaran idam tadvairam indriyair iva nirjitaha. Mandodari is saying, in the past, by performing a great penance, you conquered the senses. Pure purvair, indriya jita, and conquered the three worlds. Now, as if taking revenge out of that enmity, those very senses conquered you. So very amazing analogy that Mandodari is giving in Valmiki Ramayana. When you conquer somebody, that person takes revenge. So you conquered those senses. But how did you conquer those senses? You didn't conquer those senses to please Vishnu. We started with the concept of pleasing Vishnu. You conquered those senses for your own pleasure, and in that way those senses, they kept quiet for some time, but then later, now, they conquered you. And because they conquered you, you fell prey to lust. And then because of that, in that kama yajna, finally now your ahuti is there. So all the tapasvis, yog, bhoktaram, yajna tapasa. All the tapas and all the yajna, Krishna has mentioned, you do it as an offering to me. And when Hiranyakashipu, Ravan do yajna and tapasam, Ravan did kama yajna and Hiranyakashipu did tapasam. When they did tapasya not for Vishnu, then what happened? They got destroyed. So this is Mandodari telling us that yajna principle is only for pleasing Vishnu. Don't do any other yajna. And when you do a proper yajna, then even if externally, like Prithu Maharaj's case, or even if externally, like Janmejaya's case, there is externally incompleteness. It's, I would not call it a failure, but it is incomplete. Before it became complete, it was stopped. But if it has resulted in pleasure of Lord Vishnu, then finally it is success. And that is why Brihaspati today is telling Janmejaya, stop the sacrifice. Lot of innocent snakes have been killed. Krishna has allowed this curse to happen. Let's accept it like that and accept it as a blessing and move ahead. And that's why today we also can pray to Lord Ramchandra on this auspicious day of Dashera. My dear Lord Ramchandra, let me always participate in Sankirtan Yajna. Let me always participate in different yajnas that you have mentioned. Let me not participate in Kama Yajna. Let me not do in yagya in such a way that I will be the last ahuti. So in this way, we can all pray to Lord Ramchandra and seek his shelter today. Thank you so much. Jai Srimad Bhagavat ki jai. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anant Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai. Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.